Well, welcome again to another Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet, yours truly. Let's see, anybody have anything like to share? Oh, yes, Irma, right, I got it. I got some songs tonight, yeah, no problem. Anybody want to share anything before we start? Anything on your heart? Okay, well, let me put some songs up here and we'll do that next, I guess. This is called When I Come Down to Myself. If you're listening to Tennessee Ernie Ford sing, my voice sounds pretty putrid, but that's okay. The Lord says, make a joyful noise, didn't say it to be a good singer. Okay. When I come to the end of myself, oh Lord, you're there. When I come to the end of my strength, oh Lord, you're there. When I come to the end of all that I had and I fall on my face before thee, I will always know that you will meet me there. When I come to the end of myself, oh Lord, you're there. When I come to the end of my strength, oh Lord, you're there. When I come to the end of all that I am and I fall on my face before thee, I will always know that you will meet me there. When I come to the end, you're there. When I come to the end of my strength, oh Lord, you're there. When I come to the end of all that I am and I fall on my face before thee, I will always know that you will meet me there. When I come to the end of myself, oh Lord, you're there. When I come to the end of my strength, oh Lord, you're there. When I come to the end of all that I am and I fall on my face before thee, I will always know that you will meet me there. One more time. When I come to the end of myself, oh Lord, you're there. When I come to the end of my strength, oh Lord, you're there. When I come to the end of all that I am and I fall on my face before thee, I will always know that you will meet me there. Amen. Okay, next one's called Rain in Me. I think this might come from the church. Come to take my heart, my life you set apart, established as your throne, let your will be known. Set apart, established as your throne, let your will be known and reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in take my heart, my life you set apart, established as your throne. Let your will be known. Reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me. Reign. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Come to take my heart, my life you set apart, established as your throne. Let your will be known and reign. Sovereign Lord, reign in me, reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me, reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me, reign. Sovereign Lord, reign in me.
High Dog says our 6-year-old was jamming with you. Hey, praise the Lord. All right. Well, I guess I'll start out then. We'll see what happens afterwards. All right. Tonight I'm going to look at something a little different. I'm going to examine some of the errors of some of these watchmen. So the watchmen. You know, people tend to look at the watchmen ministry for discernment regarding all the errors the wolves are introducing into the churches. And the watchmen are always watching false prophets and false teachers. But I have a question. Who's watching them? They're watching everyone, and they're exposing anyone they feel is dangerous to the body. And that's good. But nobody really watches them. They say they've been called of God to expose error. It's flooding the churches right now. But who will expose their error? See, we tend to think that once someone becomes a watchman ministry, they no longer need to be watched. People tend to think that the doctrines and views of the watchman are correct. Of course, that's what gives them the authority to be a watchman. I mean, after all, how can you sit as a judge and jury over the teachings of other ministries if your doctrine's just as screwed up as theirs is, right? Can you imagine someone like Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland setting themselves up as a watchman ministry? That'd be pretty much of a joke, right? There's an air of legitimacy that just sort of goes along with the watchman ministry. People tend to trust you. People tend to give you the benefit of the doubt. Nobody really suspects a watchman of being a wolf. Nobody ever suspects a watchman of promoting false doctrine. But the fact is, many of those who have become watchmen are promoting doctrines that are no less dangerous to God's people than the errors the wolves are promoting. I know it's hard for people to believe, but it's the truth. Well, you know, we need to understand something about discernment ministries. The vast majority of them are fundamentalists. The vast majority of them are fundamentalists. Which means they're teaching error, just like Benny Hinn is teaching error. They're teaching error, just like Rick Warren is teaching error. They're just as wrong in many areas of doctrine as the wolves they are exposing. I'm not interested in comparing the level of danger here. I'm saying you're teaching a false doctrine is dangerous. It's dangerous. And the errors these fundamentalists, discernment ministries have embraced, it causes them to have a warped view of what's happening right now. And many times, they lay the blame for the current apostasy at the feet of Pentecostalism, even the old-time Pentecostalism that was thoroughly grounded in the Scripture. Many of them think, many of them say even, that the current apostasy is happening in large part because Pentecostals and Charismatics seek to be led by the Spirit and not by the Bible. Now, let me explain something to you. Let me explain the end result. The end result of the fundamentalist worldview. See, people are not really trained to discern things. They discern individual statements, but they're not trained to sit back and take the whole of a person's statements. You know, I may say this, you may agree with it. I may say something else, you may not agree with it. But you got to sit back and take the whole. Take everything they're saying and then understand what it means. Okay, this is something people don't usually do. But I'm going to do this with the fundamentalist worldview right now, okay? First of all, in the fundamentalist world, these are fundamentalist apostasy watchers. They all believe in internal security. I can't think of one that doesn't. If there's an apostasy watcher out there that doesn't believe in internal security, a fundamentalist one I'm talking about now, you know, I'd be interested in knowing his name. Secondly, virtually all fundamentalist apostasy watchers believe it's impossible for a genuine Christian to have a demon or to live under the influence of a demon. They all believe God drives all the demons out of our lives once we truly repent and accept the gospel. Thirdly, virtually all fundamentalist apostasy watchers believe the gifts of the Spirit have ceased when the canon of Scripture was closed or at the end of the apostolic age. So in their minds, God no longer gives believers the gift of, like, for say, tongues or prophecy. So if you speak in tongues or if you prophesy, fundamentalist apostasy watchers view that as something demonic, since in their view, God could not have possibly given you those gifts. And if they think it's demonic, and you can be sure they do, then they have to believe you have a demon, or that you're under the influence of a demon so thoroughly, it's actually talking through you. See, that's called a manifestation. Just as the Pentecostals call speaking in tongues a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, so fundamentalists call speaking in tongues a manifestation of the devil. Sometimes they don't actually say it, but they think it. If they believe you have a demon, and they certainly do if you're manifesting one, then that means they also believe you are not a genuine Christian, because a genuine Christian cannot possibly have a demon or be under the control of the power of a demon so much that it's actually manifesting itself through them. You understand? A equals B, and B equals C. If you are a Spirit-filled person and exercise any of the gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12, then you are not a genuine believer in the eyes of the fundamentalists. And just because they don't spell it out for you like that, like I just did, that doesn't mean that isn't what they're thinking. Just because they don't spell it out like that, that doesn't mean that's not their opinion of us. That is the outcome of their doctrines. That is the outcome of the accumulation of their doctrines. Now, let me say there are some Pentecostal discernment ministries out there, and they are usually a source of dependable, balanced information and discernment. But the problem I see with discernment ministries, all of them, whether they're fundamentalists or not, is this. They all act like doctors and lawyers. They all see themselves like you're some kind of special club they're in. And they never expose each other. Okay? Just like a doctor will never talk about their doctor, or a lawyer will never talk about their doctor, lawyer. Discernment ministries don't usually, under normal circumstances, unless they get in a fight with each other for some personal reason, they don't usually attack each other. And it's ironic because most of these discernment ministries, at one time or another, has condemned the practice of regular Christians going out and joining themselves with others Christians who are not doctrinally sound in order to fight a common cause. Like, for instance, the culture war is one example. In an attempt to win the cultural war, which was actually lost back in the 60s, Catholics, Protestants, and Christians of every stripe and every color have joined together to win that war. And most discernment ministries have spoken out against that kind of thing at one time or another. But these same watchmen don't mind banding together with all kinds of other watchmen who they would normally view as scripturally unsound in order to battle major threats to the church, like Rick Warren or Joyce Myers or Joel Osteen or whatever, whoever. People who, under normal circumstances, would be completely separated and at each other's throats over major doctrinal differences, suddenly choose to set those differences aside in order to fight a common enemy. All right, so you don't usually, almost never see, for example, a Pentecostal discernment ministry exposing the error of a fundamentalist discernment ministry. Short Knocker says he talks about doctors all the time. You're an exception. You know doctors don't usually talk publicly about doctors, all right? Anyway, this is because being a discernment ministry is like being, like I said, it's part of a club. And the club members don't waste their energy in fighting. Now, you don't waste your energy in fighting with other club members when there's so many dangerous enemies out there in church world to expose. So that's why I would never be invited to join the discernment ministry club. Because my first allegiance is to God and His truth. And in order to keep that allegiance pure, I would have to expose the error of the apostasy watchers just as much as I would the error of the wolves. Because their doctrines are just as dangerous as what I'm concerned. Many of them are. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to pick one, just one. I might turn this into a series. I'm going to get one tonight and go through his doctrines, his beliefs, and show you that you shouldn't be dependent on him as much as people do. And you might say, well, Daniel, why are you speaking out against those who are these discernment ministries? Why are you speaking against the watchers? Why, you know, they're only trying to warn people of the error that today's false prophets and teachers are promoting. I mean, don't you believe God raised him up to protect the sheep? Don't you believe the watchman ministries are needed? Of course I do. And I believe God has called many of them to be watchmen. The problem is, most of them are unbalanced. Partly because they're fundamentalists. And partly because they're always overreacting, and going to the opposite extreme that the errors are exposing. Okay? And that does just as much damage as the errors themselves. And people can't see that. As I said before, spiritual danger is a matter of perception. Spiritual danger is a matter of perception. And our perception of that danger comes from what kind of doctrine we have accepted. For instance, if you believe that God is basically responsible to save you and keep you, and that your only responsibility in salvation is to keep believing and trusting God, then your perception of danger is going to be very low indeed. But if you believe that you're to share the responsibility for your own salvation and your own spiritual protection, then your perception of danger is going to be a little bit higher. For another example, if you think that all you have to do to get the rewards laid out in the Scripture is believe and have faith in God, if you think all you have to do to be an overcomer and receive the rewards of an overcomer is to believe and trust in Jesus, then the grace message that's being preached in the churches won't seem like a very dangerous thing to you. But if you believe that you must actually overcome, and that believing doesn't equal overcoming, and that there are certain things you must do in order to receive those rewards, then that same grace message will seem very dangerous to you. It's all a matter of perception. It's all a matter of where you're coming from, what your doctrine is, how you view the gospel. All right? Now, I can assure you that the vast majority of today's apostasy watchers believe God is basically responsible to save you and keep you safe, and that your own responsibility is to keep believing and trusting Him. I can assure you that the majority of today's apostasy watchers believe that all you have to do to get all the rewards laid out in the Scripture is believe and have faith in God. They believe that all you have to do to be an overcomer and to receive the rewards of an overcomer is to keep believing and keep trusting Jesus until the end. So naturally, they would never perceive that their doctrines, that their views, are a danger to God's people. The only danger they perceive is that which comes from the wolves, from the teaching of the false prophets. All right. Now, the first apostasy watcher I'm going to be looking at tonight is a man named Bob DeWay, senior pastor of the Twin City Fellowship in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mr. DeWay holds a B.A. in Bible and Pastoral Studies in North Central Bible College, and M.A. in Theological Studies from Bethel Theological Seminary. He's published over 90 articles on important theological issues through a thing called Critical Issues Commentary, which is also the name of his website. And I have a link to his website if you want to check it out. Mr. DeWay, you all have heard of him. He's famous most for exposing Rick Warren and the whole purpose-driven movement. He's also very active in exposing the emergent church movement and this new spirituality, contemplative spirituality and all that. And when it comes to these areas, he's very good. I have no problem with him. As a matter of fact, I listened to that one series on reinventing the church about Rick Warren. It's like a 15-part series. And that was a very good series. I could easily agree with most of what he said. But Mr. DeWay is an interesting character. He's an interesting case because he's neither an orthodox fundamentalist or a true Pentecostal. He's sort of a half-baked theological entity. He seems to accept some of the aspects of Pentecostalism, but his overall views are very much the views of the Reformation, which means Calvinism. Of course, he believes the era of eternal security, so this is going to necessarily produce a theological view that is very biased when it comes to his interpretation of both the scriptural warning about the apostasy we're now in, as well as his view of that apostasy. In other words, since he believes in eternal security, he doesn't think genuine Christians are falling away right now. And of course, the question that any thinking person should be asking themselves is, well, if it's not genuine Christians who are apostatizing or falling away from the faith, who exactly is apostatizing and what are they apostatizing from? Okay, he has lots of articles on his website, and one of them is called Eternal Security, where he states his view on that issue. And in that article, he states, in the Scripture, they're real, but they're also effectual. Okay, the warnings in the Scripture about falling away are real, but they're also effectual. So even though it's theoretically possible, for a genuine believer to fall away, the warnings that are in the Scripture about what would happen to you if you do fall away will keep all true Christians from ever falling away. Okay? So in other words, no true Christian will ever fall away, even though it's theoretically possible for them to fall away. The theoretical will never become a reality. Okay? That's his angle. When it's, that's how he's preaching eternal security, right? Well, my view, of course, you all know this, eternal security is one of the most soul-damning doctrines ever invented. As a matter of fact, if it wouldn't be for this hellish teaching, I don't believe the apostasy that we're seeing right now would have ever gotten off the ground. I don't believe there could ever be a mass defection of Christians from the truth, from the faith, if they were really, really afraid of ending up in eternal torment as a result. All right? It's because the fear of God has been removed from the people through this doctrine, that they are not afraid to disobey the Bible and to engage in all kinds of sins and things that they know are wrong, that they know are displeasing to God. So even if the apostasy watchers manage to pull people away from someone like Rick Warren, they're going to turn right around and teach them a doctrine that is just as damnable as anything Warren has come up with. Now, of course, oh yes, we can all see that Rick Warren is a danger, he's an apostate, false gospel, blah, 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 because of all the air he preaches. But of course, nobody views Bob DeWay as a danger because of the air he preaches. He's a watchman. Now, Mr. DeWay also aligns himself with the fundamentalists in his belief that God only speaks to us through the Bible, through the Scripture. And if he would have been in my chat room the other week when I was talking about being led by the Spirit and the Word of God, all that, he would have certainly been one of those who stood up and said, you know, heresy, heresy. I have no doubt at all, that if he were ever to read any of my books or listen to any of my chat room messages, he would certainly label me as a wolf. I mean, if he has a wolf page, I would be on it, all right? Now, if you want a taste of the legalism this guy promotes, the legalistic bondage he seeks to put people in, just go read an article on that site he has called The Problem with Personal Words from God, How People Become False Prophets to Themselves. And I got a link to it. Again, you can read it. Just hit the link and go. And that whole thing is, you can't be led by the Spirit except through the Scripture. And all inner personal words, all inner feelings, all inner discernment, anything that comes from the inside of you is totally untrustworthy. You must be led only by the Scripture. I mean, that's his thing. That's his whole article. Another article entitled Sola Scriptura for Charismatics versus the Madness of Mysticism by a member of DeWay's church named Keith Gentoft. It explains why we shouldn't really try to be led by the Spirit in truth. This guy, James Ewens, is a pastor, but he presents a view in a historical context of the fight, you know, this fight between fundamentalism and Pentecostalism. Now, Mr. Gentoff grew up in the charismatic movement, and he attended Oral Roberts University, and he also graduated from YWAM's School of Evangelism in Lausanne, Switzerland. But like so many people who grew up in error, or have been exposed to some kind of error for a long time, when he reacted, and he went to the opposite extreme, okay, and since charismatics are led much more by subjective experiences than by the Scripture, Mr. Gentoff has swung to the other side of the theological spectrum and now believes we can only be led by the Bible. Anything else is, quote, Catholic mysticism in his eyes. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes and go through this guy's article, hit the main points, because I want to show you just how blind these kind of people are. Remember, this is the guy's part of DeWay's church, posted on DeWay's site, okay? So this is DeWay's view just like it is his. All right, he begins his article by saying, quote, he talks about Luther. He's talking about Lutheran Reformation versus the enthusiasts, which were what he says that day's charismatics. Okay? Quote, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is central to living Christianity. Charismatics have emphasized the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives and see his power as what separates them from dead religion. It is true that the Holy Spirit must be present and active in the life of a believer. This is the very claim of the Reformers made, especially Luther. The Reformers and the Charismatics agree on this. They disagree, however, on something just as crucial, their understanding of how the Holy Spirit comes and how he is active in the life of the believers. This understanding of how the Holy Spirit exists in both individuals and the church is where the Charismatics have wandered from the foundations of the Reformation. He goes on to say, both Luther and Charismatics complain of dead churches that are devoid of the Holy Spirit and agree that anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, Romans 8:9. But how does what is dead become alive and active in the Holy Spirit? What are the means of the Holy Spirit's activity? Sola Scriptura claims that the means is the Scripture, the external word written and preached. Charismatics believe that the means include internal feelings, impressions, and subjective experiences. The pursuit of the Holy Spirit through the charismatic means is a rejection of Sola Scriptura and a return to the revelations of men are from the Holy Spirit and have authority. He goes on to say, the process or mechanism through which we interact with the Holy Spirit is crucial, a key element in understanding Sola Scriptura. According to John 16:13, When the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you in all truth. John 14:26 tells us the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Galatians 5:18-25 addresses the same concept. It says, if you are led by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This mechanism of being guided by, being taught by, being led by, living by, and walking by the Holy Spirit is the means, the way the Holy Spirit carries Christians and rules in their lives. It is how he exerts his authority. Christians who submit to his means exhibit the fruit of his rule in their lives. Charismatics believe that the means by which the Holy Spirit operates in their lives is through internal impressions, feelings, thoughts, and anointings. The presence of the Holy Spirit is felt or perceived internally, and his leading is sensed subjectively by those who are seeking to be led by him. Evidence of this is seen in their worship services, where the goal was to feel the presence of God. He says the charismatic means are seen in the pursuit of internal words, internal revelations, which people feel are from the Holy Spirit. Those means are seen when someone gives a personal meaning to Scripture, which is devoid of the context of the meaning of the original author. Those means are also seen in prayers, where they invite the Holy Spirit to come and manifest his presence as an internal feeling or sensation. Okay, it's a long quote, but you got to understand where this guy's coming from. He's stating the opposing belief system here right off the bat. They're clearly stated. The charismatics, which would include all branches of Pentecostalism, okay, not just charismatics, they think that when Paul told us to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit, he meant be led through internal impressions, through feelings, through thoughts, through anointings, okay? And he left out as well Scripture, but I don't know any Pentecostal doesn't believe you should be led by the Scripture as well as all these other things. You know, he's kind of only painting half the picture there, but that's all right. He also said the charismatics assume that the presence of the Spirit is supposed to be felt or perceived internally, and his leading is sensed subjectively. On the other hand, fundamentalists, that is, those who are part of the Reformation churches, that is, Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, all the rest of them, they believe that we are only to be led by the Spirit through sola scriptura, which means the Scripture alone. And I wonder if Mr. Gentoff has ever taken the time to talk to any Pentecostals, not the charismatics, who are part of his little religious matrix, but Pentecostals, who are not part of that thing, and see if their experience matched his experience. Right? I wish he'd come and talk to me, or dozens of people I know, who have never prayed to the Holy Spirit, have never invited the Holy Spirit to come and manifest his presence as an internal feeling or sensation. You see, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit or invite the Holy Spirit to anything. We're to pray to Jesus or pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Now, just because everyone Mr. Gentoff knew in his life prayed to the Holy Spirit, did strange things, that doesn't mean all Pentecostals everywhere do the same. See, he's judging all Pentecostals in the entire world through the eyes of his little puny life experience in the modern charismatic movement. Well, he goes on to say this. The battle went much further than just revelation within the papacy. He's talking about Luther's battle with Catholicism, and Catholicism's main thing was this extra-biblical revelation and all that. He says, in fact, some of Luther's main battles for sola scriptura were against freestyle spirituality and revelations claimed by the new charismatics emerging within the Protestants. The charismatics Luther battled were broadly called enthusiasts because of their excessive emotional zeal and subjective means to approach the Holy Spirit. These enthusiasts include the Anabaptists and the followers of various leaders whom people perceived as having some special anointing. Luther opposed both Catholic mysticism and Protestant enthusiasts because they both rebelled against the authority of the Scripture. He says, for Luther and the Reformers, now listen to this, for Luther and the Reformers, the Holy Spirit came to them and interacted with them through the Scripture alone, not through internal feelings. Here's what Luther says concerning their freestyle spirituality. And he gives some quotes by Luther. I'm only going to give you one quote. There's three quotes in my notes here. You can read all three quotes. But I'll just give you this first one. This is what Luther said. Luther said, it is good to extol the ministry of the Word with every possible kind of praise in opposition to the fanatics who dream that the Holy Spirit does not come through the Word, but because of their own preparations, they sit in the dark corner doing and saying nothing but only waiting for illumination as the enthusiasts taught formerly and the Anabaptists teach now. I'm going to tell you that's a lie. Luther lies. This guy's lying. Anybody says that kind of stuff about the Anabaptists is lying. The Anabaptists followed the Scripture. They just didn't follow the Scripture alone. Now he goes back to this quote from this guy, Gentoff. He says, once freed from the tyranny of the Catholic Church, many of these enthusiasts continued the Catholic paradigm, that is, of being led by the Spirit internally, and rejected the legitimate authority of the Scripture speaking through them to the Scripture. I'm sorry, the authority of the Holy Spirit speaking to the Scripture. They practiced freestyle Christianity, interacting with the Holy Spirit through whatever means they felt inspired. These enthusiasts demanded interaction with the Holy Spirit outside of Scriptures. Revelations felt and perceived internally by the individuals who to be the voice of the Holy Spirit. He says, again, Luther attacked these things, and then he quotes Luther. He says, Luther knew this appetite for the new internal revelations of the Holy Spirit was damaging to those who believed that inner words had authority. That inner words had authority. Luther witnessed the death of tens of thousands in the Peasants' War, people who were deluded to believe that their own internal feelings and those of their spiritual leaders, like Thomas Munzer, were the Holy Spirit and should be obeyed. He says, Munzer claimed the Holy Spirit gave him revelations that asserted his rebellion against Germany's leaders as God's will. Munzer even claimed that God told him that the righteous followers would be miraculously immune to the weapons of their adversaries. His revelations were wrong, the peasants were slaughtered, and Munzer was beheaded in 1525. Okay, so Mr. Gentile says very clearly that for Luther and the Reformers, the Holy Spirit came to them and interacted with them through the Scripture alone, not through internal feelings. And it caused a true walk in the Spirit, freestyle spirituality, excessive emotional zeal, and a subjective approach to the Holy Spirit. He also says those who believe inner words have authority. In other words, if you think God spoke to you something and you believe it's from God, they're no different than the deluded leaders of the Peasants' War. In other words, if you believe you've heard the voice of God in your heart, in your mind, or rising from your spirit man, and you assume that voice is the voice of God, and you think it contains the authority of God that you should obey it, you are deluded. In Gentiles' mind, people who believe their own internal feelings are coming from God are simply deceived. All right? He also claims that the Anabaptists were the equivalent of today's charismatics, which is a slanderous lie. And it's truly ironic that an arrogant legalist like Gentile would seek to slander the name of the Anabaptists, because the Anabaptists were the real reformers. They're the true reformers.